RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Joel Salatin is a Christian libertarian environmentalist capitalist lunatic farmer, his description, co-owner of Polyphase Farms in Swoop, Virginia. We had Joel on back in July talking about Polyphase Farms, a farm and regenerative farming. Well, now he's going to join us again to talk about, well, Joel, thanks for coming back on. And I just need to be clear about what we're going to talk about because we can't let too many details out of the bag or there's not exceptional clarity. But welcome. Great to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. It's always an honor.
Oh, it's an honor to have you too. So it's not that you've been appointed to the USDA, but your name is in the hat to be appointed. Have I got that right?
Yes, that is correct. And the role would not be a bureaucratic role if it actually occurs. It would be simply an advisory role. Hmm. I assured them I did not want to move to Washington. I did not want to be ahead of an agency. But you know, the Trump transition team has you know, like these people do, they just cast a fairly broad net initially to see if they can get some yeses, and then they sift through those names. And so I'm just in that. Sifting pot.
Does that surprise you that your name is in that pot, as you put it? Because I'm picking. If the other lot had won, you wouldn't be in any pot.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no question in my mind that it has come as a result of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Collaboration with Trump. I don't know Trump, but I do know Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We've done some things together, and so I suspect that Trump's team looked at him and said, "Okay, Bobby, I'm going to put you in charge of health, and I'm going to put you in charge of farming. Get me some names." And so, you know, I was up on that list.
Okay, so how much of a seismic shift, part of the seismic shift that's just taken place, the election, was make America healthy again? I'm suspecting more than people think, but what do you think?
Well, it is a seismic shift. I mean, we have not had this kind of discussion ever in our country, certainly at this level. And so so now the onus is on the new, you know, the new administration to deliver. And the question is, will they deliver? If they don't deliver, they'll never be forgiven. But if they do deliver, it'll be something to see. And of course, there are interesting nuances. For example, RFK Jr. has put out that he wants to eliminate the $9 billion, that's billion with a B, that goes in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, that goes to sugary, high fructose corn syrup carbonated drinks, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper. And that's $9 billion. 10% of the nutritional assistance program in the U.S. goes to carbonated soft drinks.
I'm falling off my chair, Joel. Maybe you have to say that again. So $9 billion goes to the carbonated soft drinks that are,
yes,
killing us.
Yes. In a program, in which the second word is nutrition.
Right.
So not only is it not nutritional, it actually increases diabetes and all sorts of behavioral problems in kids. And you know, that's where we are. So those kinds of issues, if they actually can follow through with them, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola boardrooms to lose that level of income.
They'll be calling in all the donor favors, won't they?
Absolutely, yes. They will be calling what we know as K Street. K Street in D.C. is where all the lobbyist offices are, and K Street will be unleashed on the politicians because they pay for a lot of elections, and so it'll be interesting to see if Trump and his collaborators can actually, you know, make progress against an entrenched, well, as he calls it, the swamp of the deep state, to see if he can actually make any progress there. I can assure you that these kinds of discussions have never been had at this level before in our country.
So that's history making, is it? Yeah, well, I guess it is.
It is. It is indeed. It's the closest thing to a complete realignment and revolution as I've seen in my lifetime.
Where do you draw the line in the sand where things went wrong? From what I've heard, it's somewhere around the mid to late 80s that, the real decline in health in the US, and that will track here to our sort of per capita state. But so that's many decades to undo. How long does it take to undo all that?
Right. The two things that happened right there in 1979, for the first time, the U.S. Department of Agriculture decided to tell Americans what to eat. And they came out with the food pyramid.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're supposed to, the most stuff you're supposed to eat is on the bottom and the least stuff is on the top. And the foundational bottom was Cheerios and crackers. And so you can trace the U.S. The reason we lead the world in chronic non-infectious morbidity is directly related to the USDA telling us what to eat. If the government had never told us what to eat, we'd be a much healthier country. And then in the 1980s, during the Reagan administration, there was a bipartisan bill that went in that absolved the pharmaceutical companies from liability for vaccines. And so the combination of the food pyramid, the big ag corporations telling us what to eat, and of course that was margarine, it wasn't lard, and it was Coca-Cola, not raw milk. So the combination of the government telling us what to eat from an industrial food perspective, and then eliminating vaccine liability for the pharmaceutical companies, those two things worked in symbiosis to actually create the kind of sickness epidemic we have in this country.
And then you have, because we have it here, I think your country and ours, the only in the world, countries in the world that do it, we advertise prescription medicine through media to complete the circle. That would have to stop, wouldn't it?
I don't care if anybody wants to advertise, but to eliminate any liability for a product is just absurd. Nothing else in the culture enjoys that kind of immunity from, I don't have to be responsible for what I make. Nobody has that kind of indemnity. So I'm not interested in forbidding advertising, but I do think it's absurd that we've carved out a carte blanche liability indemnity to the entire pharmaceutical industry.
So you're sitting down with RFK Jr., let's say, and all this is being put in place, and he's saying, Joel, what do we need to do to correct agriculture? Big question, I know, but what would you say to him, and how do you think he could sort of bring it in? Because Trump said he wants improvements in 2 years. Now, some things are going to take longer than that, but the expectation is we will see results, right? So what would you be saying to him?
Yeah, well, the reason, in case your listeners aren't aware of why he's saying 2 years, is because 2 years we have midterm elections, and so that's where we'll elect a lot of senators and congressmen. So right now in this election, the Republicans took not only the presidency, they also took the Congress, and they also took the Senate. So all three branches are now all Republican aligned. So If delivery does not happen within 2 years, then what typically happens, and this is historically the norm, is that in the midterm election, whoever has the executive branch loses during the midterm election because they haven't been able to offer everything that they promised, and so people get upset, and so they vote for the other party. So now, what would be my agenda? So my agenda, where I differ with RFK Jr., and I love the guy. It's not that this is
personal. Yeah.
Bad. I mean, you have to love a guy that has sued the government 150 times.
Yeah.
But the problem is, all of his suits have been for the government to do more, and what I would like is to see the government do less, just abolish the agencies, not unlike what they did in New Zealand in agriculture about whatever, 20 years ago, when they just shut down all the subsidies and everything. And so what I would do, the thing that I would do on day one is I would give a what I call a food emancipation proclamation that would allow direct food commerce between a farmer and an end user, a buyer, a family, restaurant, somebody that's an end user, so that neighbor to neighbor food commerce could occur without licenses, compliance, and food police and regulations in between. That in and of, there are thousands and thousands of entrepreneurial farmers ready to service their communities with food, but they can't because the cost of entry is so high to comply with industrial scale regulations that embryonic entrepreneurial babies are too big to be birthed, and so they don't get birthed.
Right. Can or is it possible to change the current system into the regenerative system that we've talked to you about before and that many people are taking on? It's of interest to some farmers now in New Zealand that's coming on. Can the system be flipped to that, obviously, over time? Do you think it's possible?
Oh, of course it's possible. In fact, I would suggest it's really the only long-term solution to our eroding soils and our polluted aquifers and degraded environment. The question is, how bad does it have to get before right. Before people see the light? And so, in the U.S. right now, for example, we are spending $5 billion a year fighting forest fires because the radical environmentalists have shut down the chainsaws and nobody can harvest these dead and dying trees. And so they build up and then they burn. So what we need to do is harvest those trees, run them through a chipper, and go to massive, massive composting. And we could eliminate the entire chemical fertilizer industry.
Wow.
Very, very quickly, simply by turning our waste biomass into soil amendments in a carbon economy. So yes, we can actually make this change rapidly, and we have all the know-how to do it. We just don't have the will. We don't have the will to do it.
Okay, pesticides, biotechnology, GMO, right down to labeling, etc. Do you think that could come in big scale? Regulations on pesticides, maybe even elimination of pesticides. It sounds like I'm dreaming, but I'm wondering.
I think it'll be a long time before they actually regulate out pesticides. Remember, whatever a government does, it has to satisfy 51% of the people. And as long as McDonald's is still building restaurants and Tyson is still building factory chicken houses, believe me, we're going to have all these other things. So that's why from my agenda, instead of pushing for additional regulations, what I want to push for is an opening up of the market competition, the ability to compete in the marketplace for neighborhood community-based food transactions. And that way you topple the industry, or at least you compete with the industry, not by regulating the industry down, but by, through liberty and freedom, allowing local farmers to sell to their neighbors. And there are thousands and thousands of farmers ready and willing to do that if such freedom were granted.
The amount of junk food, ultra-processed foods consumed now in the Western world, particularly in the United States, there's Macca's and the other brands that you mentioned. I mean, people are still going to keep eating that stuff regardless, right? So how many people are healthy again? Is it time to look at, and I guess market forces could do this if McDonald's perceive they can sell more burgers if they're more healthy, they'll do it. But there's still a big cultural change in eating habits that need to take place, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing you have to understand is that in the U.S., our food culture, I travel a lot around the world, and I always ask people where I am in foreign countries. I say, when I say American food, what is the first thing you think? And I've never had it fail. The first phrase everybody says is McDonald's. That's what people think of as American food. So America, here's the thing. America does not have a food culture. You know, when you think of Spain or Sweden or Netherlands or Great Britain, there's a food culture there. There are things that are very decidedly, you know, culturally food oriented. But America doesn't. America food is considered a reluctant pit stop between what's important in life.
A utility. It's a utility.
Thank you. That's a great word. It's a completely utilitarian or simply functional. A functional thing. There's nothing around it. So, I got to stop and eat, you know, Americans, they just work, you know, we just work and work and work. And so we have not developed a food culture. And this is one of the reasons why we're so susceptible to the machinations of the, of the industrial food complex.
What's the process now for you? As you know, recommendations sort of travel through the system, hopefully, you know, well, I'm hoping you'll be there somewhere. Who has to confirm it, agree to it? What's the procedure from here on in? Have they told you, Joel?
If I did the position that I said I would be willing to do, it would simply be an appointment.
Right.
So there wouldn't be a confirmation or anything like that. It would simply be an appointment. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that the executive branch, which is the president in our country, the executive branch makes about somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 appointments through all the various agencies. In other words, these are political appointments that don't necessarily survive elections. You know, people they rotate in, they rotate out based on, you know, on who's in power. And so that, you know, that's a lot of names. I mean, education, energy, agriculture, housing, health, you know, all these things, State Department, you know, all these things.
So we won't see video of you, you know, answering questions like, why did you say this, Mr. Satterlin, back then? You won't have to do that.
No, I don't think so. I'll be the man behind the curtain.
All right. Before you go, have you been following the farmer protests in the UK and London particularly? They're protesting, mainly at the moment, against an inheritance tax that's been imposed on them. It seems like farmers are under attack all over the place. You've been following that one?
So I looked at a couple of those articles this morning, and you know, my basic quick answer for that is that this is symptomatic of the fact that farmers simply don't have any political clout anymore. In the U.S., in the U.S. now, we have twice as many prisoners incarcerated in prison as we have farmers. So as a political block, prisoners have way more clout than farmers. And in the U.K., there are only 209,000 farmers in the entire U.K., 209,000 farmers. Compared to the population of London, that's a tiny, tiny voting block. Mm. And so when the urban sector, you know, votes for as the Romans said, bread and circuses for the people, and gives out handouts, they're constantly looking for new sources of revenue. And so farmers, because they're such a small voting block, they get preyed upon by the overwhelming non-farm community that's searching for new ways to get revenue.
Yeah, but they forget that that's where the food comes from.
Well, they do, and the thing is, farmers, the margins for farmers are so small. I mean, most farmers aren't really making any money at all, or very little, and it's a hard business, and so this kind of additional burden, financial burden on a farmer. You know, farmers, all their equity is tied up in the land, and it's not liquid. You can't, you know, it's not like stocks and bonds or cash or even gold or silver. You can't move it. And if you move it, you don't have a viable farm anymore. And so so the equity, whatever, emotional and practical ramifications of equity in agriculture are way different than most other businesses.
Joel, great to chat with you again. Big, big moment, this, isn't it? Can it be overstated it is. More than that?
No. It is. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it pegged exactly correctly. It is a big moment, and it'll be exciting to see, you know, how things develop.
All right. We'll follow your progress as well. Joel Salatin of Polly Farms in Virginia. Thanks for coming back on, Joel.
Thank you, Paul. It's been a delight.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.